Begin the current daf, Masechta Sanhedrin, daf Mem Zayin. Begin on the top line of the Yom, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf regarding the halachas of Hesped, the eulogy that's given by the funeral. Is that for the honor of the one who passed away, or if it's actually for the honor of those who are still living? And the difference, the nafkmina, or the relevancy of that would be regarding if, let's say, the one who is passing away says, I don't want a hesped. If it's for himself, then he could say that. If it's for the others, he can't. And so, too, in the opposite way, if the Yerushin don't want to pay for the maspidin, like they used to pay for those to give the eulogy, do they have the right? That's only if it's for them, and not if it's for the one who passed away. So the Gemara says, Tashma, it's being arrived from a pasuk in Tehillim. That says, Miyala Bahar Hashem, who will go up to the mountain of Hashem, the Kichapaim of Alibam, someone that has pure palms and purity of heart. And like the Pasuk says, Miyogar Ba'alecha, who's going to dwell in your tents. And it also says, someone that's Nivze Be'enav, who's disgraced in his eyes, that's Nimus, that's repulsive, says the Braisa, Zeh Chizkiyo Melch Yehuda, that refers to Chizkiyo, who was the king of Judah, which Shagiru Atzmois Aviv Almita Shalchavam, where he dragged his father's bones on the coffin made out of rope, which in a disgraceful way, because his father was a wicked person, so he disgraced him in front of all the people so that others should take rebuke. And he didn't care, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, for his own dignity, because although he was the king, and also for his father's dignity wasn't concerned, because the pasuk says, Nasi ba'amchad loitar, you're not supposed to curse, you have to have respect for the Nasi, for the prince, for the king of your people, which the Gemara elsewhere darshan's amcha tells you, ba'isa ma'isa amcha, only if they act like the Jewish people, not if he is a wicked person like Chizkiyah's father was. So when it says in the pasuk, Nivze be'enav, it's because he disgraced himself and is repulsive in his own eyes, meaning Chizkiyah was not concerned for his own dignity in the place where is a sanctification for Hashem's name. That's what the Braisa says. So it says the Gemara, V'i, and if you're going to say that the honor that they do for a person who passed away, when they, let's say, do the mehesped, the eulogy, is not for the one who passed away, rather mishum yikr dechayuhu, rather it's for the honor of the ones who are still living. So my time, then why did he do this? Why did he disgrace those who are living if it was only that his father was wicked? Why should he do something disgraceful when all these elements of respect of a dying person is not even for the dead person himself? Says the Gemara, Ki hechet detavali kapar lavua. Yeah, although it's things that are done for the living, but ultimately it's an atonement for the father if he's disgraced when he passes away by like dragging him on a rope, a bed made out of robes. That's why he did it. But the Gemara still asks, but umishum kapar davua, so what? Because of the atonement for his father, Mashule Liikra di Yisrael, so he delays, so he doesn't fulfill the honor of the Jewish people. Again, the whole funeral, according to what the Gemara is trying to say, is for the living. So, I mean, the Gemara wanted to prove that it's for the one who passed away. Because if you say it's for the living, then why is he doing a disgraceful way? The living, the Jewish people, are not wicked people. So in that he says, oh, it's for atonement for his father, but if you're saying it's for the honor of the Jewish people, how is he allowed to do that at their expense? Says the Gemara, Yisrael gufayu nichilu demichli yikrayu legabe. Now the Jewish people prefer to be forgiving, to look away for their honor for the purposes of Chizkiyah Melech Yehuda. Because Chizkiyah, since he wanted to do it for his father, although, yeah, it's really for the honor of the Jewish people, but they're okay, they're meichel that, because they want what Chizkiyah wants, which was to have an atonement for his father, and therefore there's no proof. It could be, it is for the Yikr Dechai, it could be it's for the honor of those who are living, and in spite of that, they were meichel on that. So Gemara says, Toshim, I was trying to bring a different raya from a different braisa. Amalehen, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, commanded his sons as he was passing away, as the Gemara says in Ksubas Daf Kof Gimelim and Alvin Parakanaisei, he said to them, Al tispeduni, do not have me eulogized, meaning when you're taking my coffin to the place where I'm going to be buried, because he died in Tzipayri in Eretz Yisrael, and he was buried in Beis Sha'arim. He says, don't eulogize me be'ayaros in the small cities when you're passing through them, rather only in the large cities where there's many people, and then all the people from the surrounding towns are going to come and gather over there. Now, says the Gemara, V'yamrit Yikr Dechai, if you say that all these eulogies and everything, the whole procession, the whole funeral, is for the honor of those who are living, so my nafkilim in those, what does it bother Rebbe? If it's for himself, he could understand. He says, I want to be honored in an appropriate way. But if it's for everyone else, what does he care what they do for their own honor? That says the Gemara, no, K'savar, Lisyakru, Be Yisrael Tfei. No, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi was concerned. He wanted the Jewish people to be honored more, and therefore he says, when they come together and they make the hesped, the Jewish people get honored. Do it in the most dignified manner when you're being maspid me, only in the big cities, not in the small little stops along the way in the small cities. So therefore, there's no raya. So the Gemara Tashma, let's bring a different raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, "Helinu lechvaydei." If they, although there's a negative prohibition of leaving a dead person overnight, not in a buried state, but if you did it for his honor, for example, lahavi loy aron b'tachrichim, to bring him a coffin and to bring him burial shrouds, then ain't overlove. Then you don't violate the negative prohibition of leaving over the corpse overnight unburied. Says the Gemara, "My love lechvaydei shal meis." Doesn't it sound like from this, from our Mishnah, that what do you mean you leave him overnight for his honor? Meaning for the honor of the one who of the one who passed away. Obviously, you see that all the honor that we do is for him, for his sake. So the Gemara loy lechvaydei shal chai. When it says helin lechvaydei, whose honor? It's for the honor of the living. And they're doing for the honor of the living, and that's why they didn't. That's why they didn't bury him, not because it's for the one who passed away's dignity, but for the living people's dignity. That's not going to be a violation. So the Gemara asked, but umeshim kfeidu shalchai, well, because of the dignity of the living, mevis le lemeis, so then they leave the corpse overnight? How is that possible where he gets to sit around there in a disgraced position because of the honor of the living? Says the Gemara, and yes, ki amar rachman, like the Torah says in Devarim, lesol nivlos ala eitz, the source of this is by the one who gets stoned and then hung. It says, you're not allowed to leave his body, his corpse, overnight on the tree, which from there is where we learn that all other mesim, as we learned from the extra word in the pasuk. So it's when you delay it for no purposes. That's where we don't want that, because that's in the disgraceful state where it's dumi de toloi. It's similar to the one who's hanging, where it's disgrace. That's where there's the isser. Aval hacha, but in this case, where if let's say they're delaying the being burial because of the honor of even the relatives, keeping the less bebezayin, since it's not a disgrace, then there's no isser. Yeah, lechvaydi kamin, lechvaydi of the kraivim, not even of the person that who died himself, and he'll be delayed being buried because of the dignity of his relatives, not for himself. Because as long as it's not in a state of disgrace, like the one who's hanging on the tree, then there's no prohibition. Moses says, Toshma, let's bring a different raya. A brisa says, Helinu lechvaydei, if they delay burying him overnight for his honor, for example, l'shamea lov ayareis, so that they should gather to eulogize him in the cities, that people have time come to levaya, l'havi l'mekaynes, or to bring for him these criers, the women that would moan and cry, or lahavila arim v'tachrichin, or to bring the coffin and the burial shrouds, says the brisa, ino ibalav, then you don't violate the negative prohibition. Shekala isa, because whoever's doing this, ino ela lechvaydei shel meis, it's only for the honor of the dead person. So you see clearly that it's for the covenant of the meis that we do these things. Says the Gemara Nahochakam, this is what the brisa is saying. Kala isa lechvaydei shel chai, whoever does it for the honor of the living, ein bei bezoyin lemeis. There's no disgrace for the dead person. In other words, when it says, ino ela lechvaydei shel meis, meaning it's for the honor of the living, that there's no disgrace for the dead person, as we said in the previous Gemara's answer, that's why it's permitted, but not necessarily chavit shal meis, it's actually for the covet of those who are living. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a different raya. From a braisa that says, Reb Nosson, I mean, he says, simin yafel meis, it's a good omen, a good sign for the one who died, shenefromim, and when they collect from him, meaning when they punish from him in this world, la'achar misa, after he passes away, where, because through that, there will be an atonement for him. For example, says the Braisa Meis, Shalei Nisbet Bilei Nekaver, a dead person that wasn't eulogized or wasn't appropriately buried, or if a wild animal drags his body, or if the rain was dripping down on his bier, on the bed that they take him out to be buried in, since it's degrading, it's a good omen for the person who passed away. It says the Gemara, Shema Menah, but one thing we see from this Braisa is Yikud Deshachvihu, is that all the things that are honorable for the person who passed away. Because if it wasn't for the honor of the one who passed away, then why would it be an atonement when it's in the state of disgrace? If all these elements that are being done when he's passing away is for the honor of the living, so when we don't have those things, so that disgrace should not be a disgrace of him, it should be a disgrace for those who are living. Obviously, from the fact that we see it's a disgrace to him and it's an atonement, that when it is present, that it's an honor for him. So therefore that has resolved the question that we started on the previous staff regarding the hesped, these things that are done at by the funeral that are honorable, are they for the mess or for the living? That it's for the mess, it's for one who passed away. And therefore, if he says he doesn't want the hesped, so then we said that would be one of the differences where we wouldn't go ahead and make the hesped, because it's his choice, it's his volition, because it's for his honor. Mishnah said, Lahoyu Kaivin Mechulu, that this person that was stoned, because we were talking about Nigmar Adin, we were talking about the first of the four Mises Bezin of being stoned, then he's hung, and then we say that he wasn't buried with his fathers. He was buried in a special part of the cemetery that's for those who were executed by the court. So the Gemara says, "B'chol kach lama, why do we go so far? What's the problem about burying him with his family plot?" So it's the Gemara, "L'fisha in Kovin Russia, it's the tzaddik, because we don't bury a wicked person next to a righteous person. And this person's wicked because he committed a sin that he had to be executed for." Damer Bacha Bar Chanina says, "Minayin she'in kovin rasha etz tzaddik." From where do we know that we don't bury a wicked person next to a righteous person? Shnem, like, this is the pasuk in Melachim Beis. It says, "V'hi heim kovin ish," that it was that they were burying the man. "V'hine ro'es agadu," they saw the troops, and they were afraid of the troops. "V'yishlichu es ish bekev Elisha," they threw the man into the closest grave, which happened to be the grave of Elisha the prophet. "V'yigah ha'ish batzames Elisha," and this man rolled, this dead person rolled to where he touched the bones of Elisha. "V'yichi v'yogam ragav," and he got up, he became alive, and he stood up on his feet. This person who was buried was a false prophet. And he's the prophet that brought back Edoi to eat and drink in Basel, and he was, Edoi got punished because of him, and the lion killed him. And then when he died, so after some time, they were going to bury him near Elisha, and we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that this bad person should be buried next to Elisha, and therefore, actually Hashem made him come back alive, and that's why he actually got up and he actually left. So you see from there that a wicked person should not be buried next to a righteous. Hashem didn't want that, and therefore he brought him back from the dead to die somewhere else. Now on that, Omalei Rav Papa said, "Wait a second, how do you know that that's the reason why that incident happened, because a wicked person cannot be buried next to a righteous? But Dimalikiyume, maybe it was actually just a fulfillment for a different purpose, as it says in Malachim Beit, it says, "V'yihi no pi shnayim ruchach elai," that Elisha said to Eliyahu, "Let your powers be double in spirit by me." Now Eliyahu Navi brought one dead person back to life. Now, Elisha, therefore, should have brought two dead people back to life. Now, in his lifetime, he only brought back the son of the Shunammis. And therefore, maybe that's why now, it's when he had the ability and to fulfill, that he brought back a person a second time to life. But not because he was wicked so he couldn't be buried next to him. No, it was just Elisha fulfilling his powers of a second time, bringing back someone back to life. Amalei, so he said to him, "No, Ihachi, if that's the case, if that was the reason why this person got back to life, so Haina Detanya, then this that we learned in the Brisa says, Al Raglavama, that this dead person got back on his feet, Ulabesilaholach, but he never went back home because he ended up dying a short distance later. So if it was because of the Bracha Belio that gave Elisha powers to make two people come back to life, how would that be fulfilled when if he just died a short distance from the grave of Elisha? And therefore, obviously, it was not because of that. Rather, it was because a wicked person cannot be buried next to a righteous. So the Gemara says, "So elavehi na pishnayim hechem meshkachas l'da'achi." So then, where do we find the fulfillment of the double spirit, what was by Eliyahu to be by Elisha, that he then brought back a second person to life? If we only know of one incident, so Rabbi Yechon said to him, "Shiripet tzaras Naman." It's because he healed the tzaras, the spiritual leprosy of Naman. Shishkula kemes, which being a mitzayra is like being a dead person. So therefore taking it away is like bringing back a person from the dead. The Chesavik, it says the passing in Bamidbar by Miriam, when they said, "Al nosi kemes," they were praying for Miriam's tzaras to go away, that she should not be like a dead person. So we see that tzaras is like a dead, and that's how he fulfilled that second revival of the dead. Now the Gemara goes back to explain the reasoning of the Mishnah, that why did they have two different cemeteries for the four people that were killed, were executed by the courts? Because the logic continues. Just like we don't bury a wicked person by a righteous person, so it becomes qualitative too. So we don't bury a very wicked person next to a not so very wicked person. So we don't bury those who were stoned and burned, who are very severe wicked people, that's why they get the more severe punishments, to those who are only beheaded or choked, which they're less wicked. And that's why there's two different cemeteries for the four, those who are executed by the courts. But then the Gemara says, "Velasak and Arba Kvart," but then make it even more subcategories. Then why are there two cemeteries? There should be four cemeteries. Because the Nisrafim by the Niskalin, one of them is lower than the other. So why do you have those two together and those two together make four separate cemeteries? And that says the Gemara, "Shnei Kvaris Gemara Gemirila," that there are only two cemeteries is a tradition that we have, Halacha Mesh Mesina, and that's why we only have two and not four. Now another teaching from unrelated teaching of Amar Ula Amar B'yechanan from Rabbi Yechanan says, "Achal Chaylev V'hifresh Karbon," if someone ate forbidden fats of an animal, and he separated a carbon to bring for that sin of eating Chaylev, "V'hemer Dasa," But then he rejected his religion, which is the earlier Gersayas have in Ishtamid. He went and was Shmad. And then he did Shuvah, he came back. Says Rabbi Yechonah, Hail v'nitcha, but once the carbon was rejected, when he rejected his religion, because we do not take a carbon from a mumer, from someone that's not practicing his religion, as the Braisa teaches in Chulin, Daf Hamed Beis, it says, Mi'am ha'aretz, from the people of the land, which excludes a mumer. So then, yidachet, so it's already rejected, and therefore, even though now he became back religious, he cannot bring that carbon for that avera. Itman amisotu, we learned, Amr b'yirmi, Amr b'vo, Amr b'yichanan, again from b'yichanan, similar halacha, ochel chayla v'hifresh carbon, if someone ate forbidden fats, and he separated carbon to bring. But before he brought the carbon, v'nishtata, he became mentally retarded. V'chazav v'nishtafa, and then he became back sane again. Hayel v'nitcha, since he was rejected because a shaita, a mentally deranged person, is not a person that can bring a carbon for atonement, as it says in the Pasuk, Meyukar Aleph, V'yakrav Eisel or Tzainai. He has to bring the carbon according to his will that requires das, which a shaita doesn't have. So yidachas, even though now that he became back sane again, it was already rejected and he can't bring it anymore. Says the Gemara, Tzrich and Rivirin had to teach both these halachas, which similarly is the same idea of once you're rejected, then even if you come back, it's still going to be rejected both by a mumer and by a shaita. Because the Esh Minika Maisa, Havdi only had his first teaching regarding becoming a mumer from the ihu dacha nafshi b'dayim, because when someone rejects his religion, he did it actively himself as a way of rejection, so therefore once you did it, it's totally rejected. And even if a person is chozer b'tshuva, he can't do it anymore. Aval hai, but the person became mentally deranged, d'memele kodachi, that happens by itself, emeku yashin dami, I would say that it's like just like in sleep mode, where anyone who's sleeping at nighttime, it doesn't have das, and still he's not rejected when he wakes up in the morning that he can't bring that carbon anymore. So I would say the same thing would apply to a shaita. That's where I have to say that case too. Now, v'yash min hachad, we only said the case of a shaita, mishum de'in b'yodi lachza, because he cannot undo that. When a person becomes mentally deranged, it's not in his control to take that back. And therefore, once it's rejected, even if he becomes back sane. Aval hasam de b'yodi lachza, but by a mumer, when a person rejects his religion where it is in his ability to fix that, Emaloi, I would say that would not be considered a rejection, and therefore when he comes back, he can still bring the carbon. Tzricha, that's why they say both these halachas. Now, Amr Yosef says, he brings the support from a braisa to this teaching of Rabbi Yechanan, that once it's rejected for good, even if it becomes back viable again. How do you know this? Because it says in the braisa, if there were karchim, if there were things that were sanctified to Hekdash, to the Beis HaMikdash, in what's called the Ir HaNidachas, which is the city that the majority of the inhabitants do over the Zara, and it has certain related halachas, then they wipe out the whole city, and then everything that's in the city gets burnt in the city square. But Kadashim do not get burnt together with all the spoils of that city. Because the Pasuk says in Dvarim Yud Gimel, Shlalah, all its booty, but V'loi Shlal Shamayim, not the booty of heaven, which is Hekdash. Now, however, but it cannot be brought as a carbon, because the Pasuk says in Mishlei Chafal Zevach Rosham Te'eva, the carbonus of wicked people is abominable, Takadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, if there's kachim mizbeach, if there were those that are kachim that were supposed to be sacrificed on the altar, meaning even if they're carbon oilo or shalmei nedava, which is, could be a donation, meaning not a chatas or things like that, then yimusu, then you have to wait till the animal dies, because it doesn't get killed out in the city, but neither can you bring it as a carbon. Whereas kachim bedek abayis, if they were kachim which were not meant to be brought as carbonus, but rather for the upkeeper of the temple, then yipadu, then they get redeemed like all other bedek abayis, and the one who actually redeems it could eat that animal, because those animals did not become forbidden in the Ir HaNidachas, because it didn't belong to the people of Ir HaNidachas, it belonged rather to Hekdash. That's what the Braisa says. Now, Vavinaba, we had asked regarding this Braisa, Amayimusu, why is it by kachim mizbeach that the animals have to die, but kiven de iktel, but once the people of the city of the Nedachas get killed, havalu kapara, so that being killed should be an atonement for them. Valisku legavai, now they're not wicked anymore, now they're righteous because they were killed. And therefore, because once they're killed, they killed for the purposes of being avenged for their misdeed, which is the Gemara. And the Meyumah says certain things require death to be the final atonement. And therefore, now actually it could be brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, says the Rav Yosef, Lav Mishum, isn't it? Because their Minum, we say, Holva Nitchu, since they became rejected from being brought as a carbon when their owners had rejected their faith, because as a mummer for Avodah Zarah, we do not receive a carbon from him, as the Gemara says in Chol Daf Hema Beis, so Yidachu. That's why it's already rejected. Because if you would think it's because of Zevach Hashem Te'eva, it's not true. Because once they get killed, so they have an atonement. Obviously, it's because Holva Nitchu Yitchu, like Rabbi Yechanan said, to which Amla Abaya wants to reject that raya. Says, Mi Savet, Meis Mitech Rishu Hamle Kapar, do you think that someone that dies during his wickedness, meaning that he never repented, that's going to be an atonement for him? But Meis Mitech Rishu Loi Hamle Kapar, Abaya disagrees. He says, no, someone that dies in his wickedness never has an atonement. Don't bring a proof that, oh, Hol Venitche Yitru, even though now that they're righteous, it should be good, yeah, but still once reject is not good anymore. No, they're still Zevach Rishon Te'eva. They're still wicked. Because even though they died in their wickedness. And that's not an atonement. The Tanya of Shemaiah, like Rav Shemaiah taught in the Braisa that says, Yochel Afil Lepirsho Avosav, you would think that even if the father and the mother of a Kohen, if they separate, if his parents separate Midarkei Tzibur from the ways of the people, meaning, for example, if they become Mumorin, if they reject the Yiddishkeit, the laws of the Torah, you would think Yitma, you would think that the Kohen who cannot be metamet to other people, but he could be metamet to his seven closest relatives, including his parents, you would think he could make himself ritually impure to them when they pass away. Tamalim, that's what the Pasuk teaches. Mayukah Chavalef says, Lanefesh Leitama, to a soul, a Kohen is not allowed to make himself impure. Be'amav, in his people, where the Pasuk continues, Kiyim L'Sheire, unless for the seven closest relatives, which include his parents. But one thing you see from having the word Be'amav to Kiyim L'Sheire, it teaches Ba'isa Maisa Amav. It's only if the people do the actions of his people, then he could make himself impure to them. But if not, he could not make himself impure to them, even L'Sheire, even to his close relatives. So obviously you see, says Abaya, that a person's death does not atone for him unless the person repents. And therefore, so too over here, what are you proving from this halacha that where they died, so then, but they're in the dacha, so then they should be righteous, and obviously, even though they're righteous, but since it was rejected, it's rejected even now that it's viable. It's not true. They were never viable because they died in their wickedness, as we see here by the parents of the Kohen. They died, and yet still we see they're not considered Oysa Maisa Amcha, and that's why he cannot make himself impure to them. To which only Rav responds back to the question of Abaye, and he says, Mika Medamas Nerig Mitech Rishi? Can you compare someone who is killed by when he was still a wicked person, Lamesi Mitech Rishi, to someone who just expires, who passed away when they're wicked? You can't compare these two halachas, Avir Nidachas, to the parents of the Kohen. Meis mitech rishay, when a person just dies when they're wicked people, like the parents of the Kohen, kiven dechi urchi kamayis, since they died in the normal way, lo havalei kapar, yes, that's not an atonement, and they're still considered wicked, and therefore the Kohen cannot be metamed to them. They're not considered eisa maisa amav. But nerg mitech rishay, but if someone gets executed, gets killed, gets murdered during their wickedness, like the Iran Nidachas, kiven dechi urchi kamayis, since they're not dying in the regular way, havalei kapar, then that is going to be considered an atonement. And therefore, that does reinstate the proof of Rav Yosef. So since it was an atonement, and therefore they are righteous, then why do these Kodesh Mizbeach have to be killed? Obviously, because once it was rejected, it remains rejected. And says Rav Atayda, you should know what I'm saying is true, Dechsev, like it says the Pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Mizmul Asaf, a song for Asaf, Elikim, God, Bo Goyim Benach L'Secha, the nations came into your inheritance. Timu Eseichel Kachecha, V'Goyimer, they defiled, they made impure the sanctuary, your holy sanctuary, etc. Nosnu Es Nivlas Avdecha Maichel Lev Hashemayim, they made the corpse of your servants as food for the birds in the skies. B'Sar Chasidecha L'Chayis Aretz, in the flesh of your pious ones for the animals of the land. Now, my avadecha, my chasidecha, what are these two different terminologies of your servants and of your pious ones? Lav, isn't it? Chasidecha, chasidecha mamash. The pious ones are literally the pious ones. And avadecha, when it says your servants, are hanach de mechayi v'dini mikar, are those who were liable for death originally. But v'kivin de ikta, once they get killed, like the pasuk there is talking about nivlas avadecha, that they're dead, karal avadecha, they're called avadecha, your servants. So you see, says Rava, that once they're killed by other people, then they do become, they are considered pious and righteous people and avadecha. So therefore that, like he said, reinstates the proof of Rav Yosef, not like Abaye was asking from someone who just dies. Dies is different than being killed. Which Amalei Abaye responds back to Rav and he says, Mikom Medamis, can you compare as a continuum to Medbeis, Harugi Malchus, those who are killed by governments like this by the non-Jews in this pasuk in Tehillim. Yeah, if governments, if other nations come and kill out Jews, then they're considered by that death as avodim. But can you compare that laharuge bezdin to what you want to answer and differentiate between what I was bringing from the Kain and his parents to someone who's killed by the Iran Dachas, which is the Jewish courts go and kill out those of the subverted city? Haruge Malchus, those who are killed by governments, Kivan the Shalei B'din Kamikteli, since they're killed not according to the law, which is other nations that don't care, they just kill out the Jews. Havalu Kapara, that's an atonement for the Jewish people. Harugi Bezma, if someone's killed by the Jewish courts, Kivan the B'din Kamikteli, since according to law he's being killed, Lahavalu Kapara, that would not be an atonement for him. And therefore you can't differentiate between the Eran Dachas and the case I'm giving of Kahanim, and therefore you see that just being killed is not an atonement. And therefore, again, that says Abai rejects the proof of Yosef. It's not because Kimin Shenitche Yitru, rather because they never had an atonement, and therefore they're still wicked. Teide, you should know, and that's why Kachem Mizbeach have to die, and because it's still considered Zevach Hashem Te'eva. Says Abai, you should know this, because did not. We learned in our mission that says, Lo hayu kovin oisib bekvaras av oisib, that we wouldn't bury him, and that's why this discussion brought up until this point, where we introduced a different teaching, bringing back to the Halacha of our Mishnah, that they wouldn't bury the one who was executed in the burial plot of his parents. Now, if you're entertained to say, that once he gets killed, there's an atonement. So then, so let him be buried in his parents' plot. Obviously, this is a baya that even though someone is killed by the Jewish courts, he's still considered a wicked person, and therefore the same thing would be on the Dachas, and therefore you see from the Dachas that, as we're saying, says Abaye, that there's no atonement, and therefore it's not because to prove Rabbi Yechanan's halacha of Kimish and Nitcha Yitru, rather the person is still considered a wicked person. So Rav Gemara responds back, no, Misa Ukavur Bina. No, it's to get an atonement, you need to both be killed and to be buried. But then if the person is buried, then the death is an atonement for him. And therefore the Gemara says, Rav, I could tell you that really the reason by the kachim of the Eran Dachas, why is it that the kachim is mech have to die and cannot be brought as a carbon, is because once they're rejected, they remain rejected. And therefore we could say like Rabbi Yechanan, because it is actually good now. Because although, yeah, just the death itself is not an atonement, but death and burial is. And that's why when the person who is killed, executed by the courts, cannot be buried by his parents, because he's not yet atoned yet. When he's buried, then he's atoned. And therefore, that says the Gemara goes back to prove Rabbi Yechanan's halacha, like Rabbi Yisrael wanted to say, by the Eran Dachas, where these people are not only killed, but also buried. Then after they're buried, then there is atonement. Then they're righteous. Then the karbana shall be able to be brought. Rather, it must be because kimin shenitchu yitchu. Now, however, Meitzer Rav Adam Rava, he asked from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, lohoy mis'ablin elo einen. That says that they would not conduct themselves with avelus, which are certain laws of public mourning for the one who is executed, their relative, but rather only as aninus, she'en aninus ela b'lev, because that type of a mourning is only in the heart, that they could feel sorrow, but not a public display. Now, says the Gemara, v'yisak adaitach kivin de'ik for havili kapar, but if you say, as the Gemara just said before, that when a person dies and then he's buried, then there's atonement, then li'avu, then they should conduct themselves with avelus. We said the whole reason why they don't is because the person is a wicked person, and that should be an atonement. But if he's already atoned by his burial, then they should have avelus. Says the Gemara, no, be'in aname equal basa. It's not enough to die and to be buried. They also have to have the decomposition of the flesh. Only then is that the finalization of the person's atonement. Says the Gemara, Deka Nami Diktani, and actually a precise reading of our Mishnah indicates this, because it says, only when this achal abasa, when the flesh decomposes, malakten sa'atzamis v'kervenes m'kaim, and then they gather the bones and they bury it in the place of his family plot. Shemamino, what we can infer from there is only then is an atonement, and then it's not going to be a rush etzel tzaddik, it's going to be a tzaddik etzel tzaddik, and then you could bury it over there, and that's why there's no avelis, because in that time the flesh is still decomposing, and it's not viable to go ahead to have a full atonement yet. Rav Ashi, I mean, he says that truthfully you could say that you don't need to have the decomposing of the flesh to have the atonement. Rather, all you need is a little bit of the pain of what's known as chibur hakever, which is the pain of the burial of the grave. And so then why didn't they have avelus? If all you need is to be in the ground a little bit, so the first 7 days is still within that time frame that you could have avelus, that the person already has atonement. And that's says Rav Ashi, because avelus me'imasai kamaschelus. When does the laws of avelus begin? Mistimasai gail. It starts the moment that the gail is closed, as the Brisa says in El Megalchin, the Goyel is the board that's put on top of the coffin as a covering, because those on the sides of the walls are called the Deifig, that's when the Avela starts. Now, Kapar Me'imasakava, but when does the Atonement start? That's Mechichas Utsar the Kiriporta, as we said before, when the dead person gets a little bit of the pain of the grave. But that's a little bit after the Goyel was put on. Since it was rejected already, in other words, that it was not able for them to do Avelis at the time when Avelis would normally begin, when the Goyel is put on, because then the dead person did not have yet the Tsar of Chibur HaKever, so Yidachu, therefore, it's rejected even for after that point. Because as Rashi says, although the Mishnah says in Ma'id Katan of Yitzhak Aleph, when a person buries his relative on a Yomtiv, that then they start their shiva after the yomtiv. And we don't say, Hol v'nitchu yidachu, once it's rejected, that you can't do it on yomtiv, that it's rejected forever. There it's actually not totally rejected, because the public does do certain things of avelis on yomtiv, which they're menachem, they comfort the mourners on yomtiv, as the Gemara teaches over there. Anything that has to do with the public, the yomtiv does not interfere, and therefore it's not a total rejection. But when it is a rejection, like in this case, because the Gail is when it should start, but they can't yet do Avelis because he didn't have an atonement yet until it's a little bit later that he's in the ground, therefore totally rejected, according to Rav Ashi. So the Gemara says, Hihachi, if so, regarding the burial of into his father's plot, so Lomali, why do they have to wait till Ikal Abasar? According to the first answer, we said that was actually the precise reading where we said you can't do Avelis because it's only the atonement, not only after burial, but after the flesh decomposes. So therefore you wait till that happens and then you take the bones to the burial plot of the parents. But Kondra Vasha says actually no, all you need is a little bit in the ground. You just don't do Avelis because you can't start it at the same time. So then why do they wait till the flesh decomposes to bring it back to the father's burial plot? Oh, you should seemingly just have to wait a little bit and it's in the ground just for a little bit. Then you could go and take it back into his family burial plot. Says the Gemara, Mishum Delefcha, it's just simply pragmatic, it's just not possible to take it, because when a person gets buried, the stomach bursts open and starts putrefying and smells, and it's disgusting, because you have a human being that's decomposing, that's why they don't do it, and they wait till the flesh decomposes, and then there's only bones, then it's not a difficult task. But it's not because there's no kapara. According to Rav Ashi, the kapara is already after the body's a little bit in the ground. Now the Gemara continues in a related discussion. Kivri de Rav, the burial plot of Rav, have a shakli mini afra, people would take the earth from by the grave of Rav, le'ishtabas yemer, for a one day old fever. And that's how they would heal themselves with that dust for the fever that they had. Now, Asu Amr le Shmuel, they came and they said to Shmuel, and the reason why they were telling this to Shmuel was because a dead person and everything that's buried with him is forbidden to have benefit from it. As the Gemara later on teaches, we have Xer Shavu from Shom from Eglad Rufa, which is forbidden to have anah. So they were saying people can't take from his grave, it's forbidden to have anah from it. But Amalahu, Shmuel said to them, Yos Abdin, no, the people are doing it appropriately. Because Karka Oilmu, all they're taking is from the ground. For Karka Oilmu ain't necessary, and the ground itself never becomes forbidden. How do we know this? It's simply like the pasuk says Melachim Beis. It says VeYashlech that Yeshayahu HaMelech threw Esafara the dust of the Avodah Zarah which he had grinded down Al Kever Bnei Ha'am on the graves of the people of the nation. Now Makish Kever Bnei Ha'am LaBeis Kacham. So the pasuk is equating the graves of the people to the idol. Ma'avodah Kacham, just like Avodah Zarah b'Mechubal Mitzra, when it's attached to the ground, does not make the ground forbidden. How do we know this? Like the pasuk says in Devarim, it says Ashatim Yoshim Oisam, that you will go ahead and chase out and inherit the land of the Canaanim, inherit Israel. Es Eloihehem Al Har Maram, you're going to chase out and you'll wipe out their gods that are on the high mountains. What that teaches is Al Haharim Eloihehem. It's only their gods that are on the mountains that have to be wiped out. But v'loy haharm Elohim, but not if the mountains themselves are their gods, because if the mountain is their god, the mountain does not come forbidden, land cannot become forbidden because it's an avodah zarah. So Achanami here also, when it's equating it with a dead person, b'mechurbo lo mitzer, if it's attached to the ground, it does not become forbidden, therefore there's no problem by them taking the ground of the burial plot of Rav. But Meisve, they asked from the following brice on this halacha. Hachitzev kevrala of someone goes and carves out a grave for his father after his father passed away. But v'halach v'kavir b'makamach, he ended up burying him in another place. But halach is harezer le'kavir bay, so then the son cannot go ahead and be buried in that original plot, a'ilam is forever, because once it was prepared for a dead person, it became forbidden for all benefit. Now, the assumption of the Gemara over here is that the same thing would apply if he was digging the grave for even another person, and it just happened to pick for his father, because that's who you usually do it for. But one thing we see, that a grave, which is just the land, the ground itself, is forbidden to have benefit from it. So, as the Gemara in the Chochmei Iskin, what we're talking about over here is Bekever Binyan. We're talking about a grave that's built over ground, which is a building. As similar halacha that we have by Avodah Zarah, is a house that was built originally for Avodah Zarah is forbidden. Now, if it was detached and then attached to the ground, it's considered detached for the halachic purposes of Avodah Zarah, and therefore that's why it's forbidden by Avodah Zarah. And there we compare a kever to Avodah Zarah, that's why it's forbidden. But if it was the ground itself, just like Avodah Zarah, the ground itself is not forbidden, so too the halacha of a kever would not be forbidden because it's the ground itself. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's try to bring a different raya from a brice that says, kever chadash, a new grave, meaning it was never prepared for a dead person. Rather, they just carved out a hole, and when someone dies, then they'll bury him over there. So then says the brice, mutba, no, it's still permitted to have benefit from it, because it wasn't designated for a dead person. But hitl boy nefil, but if, let's say, an aborted child was thrown into that, or a non-viable child was thrown into that grave, asabana becomes forbidden to have benefit from it. So you see that a grave, which is just the ground itself, when you put in a dead person, does make it forbidden to have a na'ah. So it's Gemara na'ah chinami, because Rabbi Nehero, we're talking about a grave that's a building that's over ground, that's why it's forbidden. But the ground itself would not be. So it's Gemara Tashma, let's bring a different raya from a brisa that says, Nimtza to'imer sholish kvarasin. The brisa says, it comes out that there are three different types of graves that are different in their unique halachas. The three different types of graves are kever ha-nimtza, a grave which it's found, in other words, it's a new grave, and the owner of the field knows that he never told anyone that they were allowed to bury over there, and they find someone buried in this grave, which obviously tells us that someone stole and buried someone in there without permission. Then you have a second case, is kever ha-yadua, a grave which is known, meaning that the one who was buried there was buried with the agreement of the owner of the field. And the third one is kever hamazik esarabim, a grave which is harming the people because it's buried in a place where many people pass by and they become tamei from the halacha of oil of passing over that grave. So what are the three halachas? So kever hanimtza, regarding a grave where you just find someone buried over here without permission. So mutal lefanayse. So you're allowed to go ahead and take out the dead person because he never acquired his place. He didn't have permission to be buried over there. Moreover, pineu, when they clear out that dead person from the grave, mekoy mitahar, the place of that grave is pure, because although there's a rabbinic decree to make tameh on a kever, on a grave, even when they take the body out from there, but they did not make the gzera over that in this case, because he didn't have permission to be buried over here. And umutah b'hano. And even though it's a issa d'oraisa to have hano, which is what the question is going to be, we see even on a grave, but the halacha is that anything from a mess is forbidden to have hano, even biblically. In this case, it's going to be permitted to have hana from it because it does not have halachic status of a grave because whoever was buried there was buried at permission. That's the case of kever ha-nimtza. Kever ha-yadua, the known grave, meaning that they knew that this person was allowed to be buried over here. So asa lefanoi, so you're not allowed to take out the body from there. Moreover, pineu, even if you do take him out, mekayme tamei, the place of the grave is going to remain tamei. That's a rabbinic decree because they made a gzer derban of tuma forever on the grave, and they did that purposefully so that people should not try to clear out and exhume bodies from the graves to then use that space to say, no, we want to keep people where they're buried, and therefore even if you do, it's going to be forbidden. It's going to have a halacha of tama, and v'asar b'hano, it's still going to be asar b'hano. The third case of kever hamazik esarabim, about a grave that is harming the public, mutal lefanaisi, so then they were given permission to take out the body because of the harm that it causes to the public. Pineu, moreover, when they clear him out, m'klem yitar, the place is pure, and because they did not make a gzeri in this case because of the harm that it caused the people, which was exactly because of tumah. But however, the grave itself is forbidden to have benefit from it because it's an issur d'oraisa, and that never gets removed. But one thing we see from all these cases is that there is an issur, there is a prohibition of benefit from the grave itself, which is ground, which we see in Alek Shmuel. So come on, no, as we said before, Hachanami B'Kevabinya, here also we're talking about a grave that's overground, that's made out of a building. That type of a grave is not attached to, is not the ground itself, and that's why it could be Asa Bahana. Now, once we brought in this Brisa, the Gemara actually asks, V'kever ha-nimtza mutal lefanoise, we said that the case was, one of the cases was a grave that's found, where you just find someone buried in this, that was never designated for a dead person, which is mutal bahana, they find someone buried over there, we said, you're allowed to clear out the body. On that asked the Gemara, why? Who said that it's because someone stole the right to bury in there? Dilma meis mitzvahu. Maybe that was someone who was found dead that had no relatives, and which is a mitzvah to bury that person. And halacha is a meis mitzvah kana mekaymei. A person that dies without anyone to bury him, he acquires the spot where he dies. And it's one of the conditions that Yeshua had stipulated when they came into Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara says in Bava Kama Daf Pei Aleph. So therefore, how are you allowed to clear it out? Maybe it's a mes mitzvah, which exactly that's the halacha. Mes mitzvah could be buried wherever he is. So the Gemara knows Shani mes mitzvah, a mitzvah mes, is different. The kola isli. Word comes out, everyone ends up hearing about it, that wow, there's someone that was found, didn't remember to bury him, and they bury where it was. And therefore, he would have known if whoever's buried here is a mes mitzvah. The fact that he doesn't know must have been someone buried without permission, and therefore, he'll have to clear out that body. A related type of a discussion, the Gemara brings Itmar, we learned as follows. Ha'irig beged lemeis. If someone weaves a garment for a dead person after that he passed away, so Abaye Amar Asa. Abaye says the garment is forbidden to have benefit from it. V'Rav Amar Mutei says permitted. As the Gemara explains, Abaye Amar Asa, he said it's forbidden because Hazmana, the preparation that it was prepared for this purpose, already gives it the designation of the dead person on this, is Milsihi. It's considered significant. It's as if the dead person was already wrapped with it, which anything, like we said before, of a dead person, which the previous discussion was regarding a kever, it's regarding the tzachrich and the burial shrouds, when it's on the dead person, it's forbidden. On that, says Abaye, even the preparing, just having it designated, prepared for that, is considered significant as if it's already has that designation on it, and therefore it's forbidden. Whereas V'Ravam, he says, no, mutter, it's permitted because as manalav milsi, the fact that it was prepared for that is nothing, doesn't make it something of a mess until it's put onto the dead person, and therefore it's still permitted to have benefit from it. So the Gemara says, my time at the Abaye, what's the reason of Abaye? It's because Gamar Sham Sham Me'egla Rufi, learns at Xer Shava, where it says in Bamidbar Chaf Aleph, it says regarding Miriam died, Vatikavi Sham, she died over there. So we see the term Sham by a kever, and it says Sham by Egla Ruf, which in Devarim Chaf Aleph Dal, it says Va'orfu Sham es Egla Manacho, they decapitate the calf over there in the valley, which teaches us from the Gzer Shava, Ma Egla Rufa, just like by the decapitated calf, which is when they find a dead person between cities, they don't know who killed them. So they have to bring this Egla Rufa. Bahazmana Mitzura, by just having it prepared, it already becomes forbidden to have benefit from it. As the Gemara teaches us in Masechtas Kedushin, Masechtas Krisis, that just it's bringing it down to the Nachal Ace and already makes it forbidden. So Hainami Bahazmana Mitzura, so here also regarding the dead person, just having it prepared for the dead person already makes it forbidden. Whereas V'Rava, Gamar Sham Sham Me'Avedas Kechavim, he learns a different Gzereshava, not from Egla Rufa, but from Avedas Zara. Because as we said, it says Sham by Miriam and by Midbachav, but Vatame Sham Miriam at the cover Sham. And by Avedas Zara, in Devar Miyad Bezis, it says Asha Abdu Sham Hagoyim, that's where the non-Jews serve their Avedas Zara, which teaches us Ma'Avedas Kechavim Bazman Alay Mitzvah, just like by idol worship, where just having it prepared does not make it forbidden for a common person, as the Brisa teaches in Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Dalam Beis. If someone says this house should be for Avodah Zarah, this ox should be for Avodah Zarah, it's permitted because there's no halacha of preparation for Avodah Zarah. So Afachinami Basman Limitzurah here also regarding the dead person, having it prepared for that person does not make it forbidden. So the Gemara now asks, according to each one, V'Rava my time alugamim Egla Rufa. Why doesn't Rava learn the Gzeir Shava from Egla Rufa, which shows that it should be forbidden just based on Hazmana? So Amalach, he would tell you, as we continue in the temple of Memchas and Aleph, Mishamshin, the things that are assisting or preparing for a dead person, like we're saying regarding the burial shrouds, Mishamshin, from the things that are assisting and serving for Avodah Zarah, Gaminan, there we learn one from the other that it does not become forbidden with just Hazmana. Now the reason is because that pasuk that says Hashem Abdu Sham, which is the Gzer Shav of Sham Sham, is regarding things that are attend to the needs of Avodah Zarah, as the Gemara says over there in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, in Alvin Beis, where the Brisa teaches, it says, Aved to Avdin is Kol HaMakayimah, you should get rid of, clear out all these places. It says the Brisa, that refers to the Kalim that were used to serve the Avodah Zarah, because it was talking about the places themselves, they don't become forbidden. As we said earlier, it says, Eloheim al-Harm, only their idols on the mountains become forbidden, but Eloheim al-Harm, but the mountains themselves, the places themselves, do not become forbidden. Now, says the Brisa, you would think they become forbidden immediately when they're just prepared. That's what says Tamalei Masha Abdu Sham. It's when they do it is only from the Tashmish, when it's utilized, and onward. So therefore, since they're both mishamshin, they're both tools that are assisting the thing, where there it's assisting them by the zara, or the kalim, here it's assisting the dead person, where it's a burial shroud. So we learn that mishamshin from mishamshin, just like over there, but by the zara, it's only from when you used it, but the azman alav milsi, here also it's azman alav milsi. Lafuke egla rufa, but he doesn't learn from egla rufa, the higufa gedusha. That halach of sham over there that says that the egla arufa is the, what becomes forbidden, that is not, that hazmana is not just a mishamish, it's but the thing itself, the sanctified item itself, which is the egla rufa, therefore we don't learn from that. Now says the Gemara, Abaye my tamal gomam avayt skechavim. Now the Gemara asks the other way, why doesn't Abaye learn from avaydezara that hazmana is lav milsi, like we see by avaydezara saying this house should be avaydezara, does not make it forbidden, even though it's preparing for it, so too should be regarding the tachrichim. So Amalach, he would tell you, you learn out something from what's normative, from something else that's normative, which it's normal for a Jew to do that, which is by making the egla rufa, which is a halacha, and by making tachrichim, which is also a halacha for the person that died. Lafuke avodis kechavim de lav urche, in contrast to avodah zarah, which is not normal. And that is because avodah zarah is forbidden to be done, even for b'nei nayach. So therefore, and Rashi says a logic over here to this idea. Therefore, it does not become forbidden by avodah zarah when you're using its utilization, when you're preparing it for it. Then it does not become forbidden for benefit. The reason for that is why it's different. It says that by really hazmana is milsi. Just like you see by egla rufa, so which is normal for a Jew to do, so to learn that for tachrich for mes, which is normal to do that, we see by just preparing it, it becomes asr. So why by avodah zarah is it not asr when you have hazmana? It's because maybe the person will retract, because it's not normal, it's not something that you're allowed to do. And maybe it will never end up being used as a mishamesh avodah zarah. That's why hazmana is lav milsi in that case. But generally, hazmana is milsi, and that's why he learns that his gzeir shava from something that's normal to something else that's normal, which is from egla rufa to the halacha of a kever regarding a mess, as we say, but the kaver sham miriam, sham sham from egla rufa, not sham sham from avodah zarah.